Hello and welcome back to the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is a hand car washing business located in Churchill and on Highway 11W in the Palace Shopping Center. It is there you can come and get your car washed. Hello, my name is Matthew Monona, and my wife Victoria and I, we own and operate this business, and we do it as a means, like Paul, to earn our own keep. This way we can give the Word of God out freely. Our motto here is to settle the Word of God and not peddle it. And we give up these sermons. We pay for the airtime. We pay for everything. And we do it by getting people like you to support us. And the way you can do that is to support us by coming and letting us earn our money by washing your car. We not ask for tithes. We don't ask for donations or any kind of giving. We want to give out the Word of God freely. And speaking of which, we're going to get back to our verse-by-verse Bible teaching. We are in the Gospel of John in chapter 12, and we just looked at the first 11 verses, and we covered four things. There was an anointing, Mary anointing Christ. There was an objection, Judas objecting to the perfume and money being wasted. There was a rebuking, that is Jesus rebuking Judas. And then, of course, there was a gathering. I encourage you to listen to the last four or five messages to get a recap of all those different things that we looked at. And so now in the latter part of chapter 12, well, I guess more the middle part, we're going to look at what the Bible subheads here as the triumphal entry. And there'll be some challenging things that we talk about in the next couple of messages. So without further ado, let's get back into our verse-by-verse teaching, starting in chapter 12, verse 12. And we read, "The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel.' Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, 'Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt.'" Now let's stop right there. So we see him the following day, as he heads towards Jerusalem, and this large crowd that had gathered began putting down palm leaves, which is it's something that they would do for kings in the old days. When a king would go on a journey, there would be servants ahead of the chariot, and they would basically smooth out the road or lay branches down where there were big potholes and make the road as smooth as possible. And so they were, in an act of anointing him king, doing this same thing. And they're crying out, "Hosanna, oh Hosanna," which simply means save. So they were hoping that their king would come in to save them. And as most of us know, their intention and idea of Jesus saving them was to mount up and overthrow the Roman oppression and government. Of course, we know otherwise. But in the context here, it means save us. In other words, it wasn't Hosanna means save, but they're saying save us, save us. And from what? Well, of course, again, the tyranny of the Romans. And they were doing what we often do, and that is they were witnessing the spiritual and viewing it from a humanistic viewpoint. They were witnessing a spiritual event, but viewing it with human, secular eyes. Was Jesus worthy of the things they were saying? Well, you bet he was. Saving us from sin and death and hell? Well, they're not quite sure about that yet. You see, again, they were looking for someone to crush the tyranny of the Romans and restore a once proud heritage of the Jews. But they should have realized something was wrong the second they saw him riding in on a what? He was riding in on a colt or a donkey. And I'm sure some of them might have been like, "Are you kidding me? This is not the ominous sight we were hoping for." But their emotions got the better of them. And, you know, the Jews were not stupid or illiterate. In fact, they were quite the opposite. See, they should have known that the writings of the Old Testament that they had in their possession. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughters of Jerusalem. You see, your king comes to you, riding or righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Oh, but listen, if you're worried about Jesus coming on a colt or a donkey, don't worry. That was just the first time. Because the next time Jesus comes, it won't be so gentle. Look at Revelation 19, verse 11, 15, and 16. It says this: I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And on his robe and on his thigh he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, this day will come sooner than you and I might think, where Jesus comes back and not gentle and riding on a foal, but he comes back with a sword and blood and a robe. And, you know, he is coming back with a vengeance to set all things right. But for now, these onlookers were in for a big surprise. And let me tell you something. False expectations can turn a person very quickly. That is why, if you've listened to me for any length of time, you know I am totally against the majority of the churches today that are just cherry-picking the Word of God. And they're giving just parts of the entirety of God's Word. They're giving just the good things and the stuff that makes people feel good. It's a half gospel, and it's permeating our churches everywhere. And there are many, many people who come to Christianity under these false teachings, or these half teachings, if you will, and this bad theology or incomplete theology, and they are fed these false expectations. And false expectations can turn a person very quickly, because when God begins to move in these people's lives, these who have been listening to this watered-down gospel, they are going to have absolutely no idea what is happening. Listen, God wants to bless us, but sometimes he has to break us. And when you don't understand by receiving a full, complete gospel, or a full and complete counsel of everything in God's Word, you're going to be like these people, and you're going to fold at the first sign of your expectations not meeting what you had thought. And their hosanna and expectations quickly turned to anger and disappointment and disillusionment, and it began to set in. And the same crowd that was yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, a week later will be yelling, Crucify him. Listen, if you're in a church today that isn't preaching all of God's Word, New Testament, Old Testament, whole chapters, even if they don't go verse by verse, they're not skipping out on anything while they go through it. God, you're being told that maybe God is going to bless you, and that there's going to be, you know, good things in your life, and that following Jesus, you know, all this stuff, it's going to come crashing down the moment God tries to break you. And the moment God tries to turn you into an image more like his son, you're not going to understand what's going on. Because again, false expectations can turn a person very quickly. Unmet expectations or false expectations are the cause of so much pain. The lower our expectations about anything, the less invested we are, thus the less pain. You see, we expect certain things in certain ways in a certain time frame, and then when that fails, we go from Hosanna to Crucify. When it comes to the things of God, expect the unexpected. And that's my advice to you. When it comes to the things of God, expect the unexpected. Don't have false expectations. Don't have idealistic expectations. Don't have any at all, really. Because God usually does the unexpected. And when you have an expectation, whether it be a good or a bad one, chances are it's going to be hard to alter your mind and the things that you were planning to do with those expectations. What does Job say in Job 2:10? He says, "Shall we not accept good from God and not, or should we only accept good from God and not trouble?" And by laying down these palm branches, they were indicating they wanted him to be king. So they were expecting physical salvation. You see the difference now? This is where this is all coming together. They were expecting physical salvation, but Jesus came to bring them spiritual salvation. And they weren't the only ones that didn't understand. Look at verse 16. In verse 16 it says, "At first his disciples did not understand all of this. And only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him." And so, while when I say to you, expect the unexpected, it may sound a little cliche, but here's another one, since we're on the cliche applications. Hindsight is 20/20. And, you know, here, how often do you see, you know, do you understand something after the fact? Like a parent who warns a child of the dangers, and that child doesn't listen to her, and, you know, later on, after the consequences, after the fact, they'll say something like, "I should have listened to her." And Jesus knew a lot of what he said at the time would be understood later, but he had to tell them anyway. And that's what the disciples, you know, so it says about them. They didn't understand at the time, but later they remembered what he had said. So let's take a look at verse 17 through 19. "Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. And so the Pharisees said to one another, 'See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him.'" Let's stop right there and give you another scripture. Acts 4:20 says, "For we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and what we have heard." And this, of course, on the heels of the disciples being told to stop spreading the message of Christ. And they say, "We cannot help but speak it." Have you ever had dinner with a non-believer? You can go hours and hours, and at the end of it, you look back at the conversation, and you really guys talked about nothing. But how about having a time of fellowship with a Christian? You ever notice the difference? You should. Because when it comes to the Bible and to Christ and God, man, you could talk into the wee hours of the morning with a believer about these things, and it just flies right by, and it's never forced. It just naturally comes out. And in verse 17, it says that the crowd that was with Jesus talked. And so the result of being with Jesus was that they continued to spread the word. They had witnessed the awesome power of Jesus, and they could not help themselves. Or they could not but help speaking about what they've seen and what they heard, which is Acts 4:20. And so, if Acts 4:20 is the natural result of being with Jesus, when you're with Jesus, the natural result is you cannot help but speak about him. And listen, if this is not your life, if your life is not laced with thoughts and words about Jesus, if your conversations do not eventually lead you or automatically get you talking about him, then it's time to question the reality of a relationship with Jesus. "For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard." That is the natural result of being with Jesus. He should be on your thoughts and on your mind and on your mouth without effort. It should be that you cannot but talk about his wonderful name. Is that not describing you today? Then you're doomed and you're beyond help. No. That's just the point. All it takes is a profession of faith. You know, Steve Brown once said he came to a point in his life where he realized that my sin is more real to me than you are, Jesus. And that changed the course of his life. Let me ask you, is your sin more real to you than Jesus is? Let your life change today. Make the profession of faith, ask for forgiveness, and get to following God. Give him everything you are and everything you have. You have a blessed day. Next sermon will pick up. continuing in chapter 12. Go to washandword.com for information. Have a blessed day.